Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. They got beautiful chrome, black and white, neg, instant pack. Instax is now in the country. Just a ton of stuff going on. Check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all of your film to be developed, prints made, beautiful work from these guys in Hollywood, California. Definitely check them out, richardphotolab.com. DR5, the place to send your black and white, and guess what you get when it comes back? Chrome, that's it, black and white chrome with the DR5 process, www.dr5.com. And of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, the camera strap. Well, your camera will not slide off your shoulder. Al's been making great stuff of yours. Definitely check them out. And our media partners are the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web to learn all things analog process, film, dry plate, wet plate, alternate printing processes, you name it, emulsion making, great stuff, www.apug.org. We got a great show lined up for everybody today. We're going to have with us today Rikus Valladares. He's a great photographer from South Florida, right there near Miami. He shoots all film, beautiful stuff, black and white. And of course, he's a Leica shooter, all M glass, all M Leica. Very, very unique, very, very cool, beautiful photography. You got to check out his website, check out his blog. He's got beautiful work and he's going to join us today talking about what he's got going on. Rikus, how you doing today?
Good, good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. We just want to chat with you today and see what you're up to. You're doing a bunch of really beautiful wedding portrait work. Very inspired, great stuff. And what's unique about you that we want to chat with you today is A, of course, you're shooting film, but B, you're a Leica shooter. So I think this puts you even in a smaller class of people that are doing professional photography with a rangefinder. So we just want to chat with you today and see what you're up to. So Rikus, give us a little background on yourself. How'd you get into photography? What brought you around to at least this point to where you're really digging film and shooting Leica stuff?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Very cool for you to ask me to talk to me. But pretty much in a nutshell about me, I've always been a fan of photography. Ever since a kid, I've always had like a crappy camera. I've been somewhat associated with the art, like either drawing or painting or photography. So I was always drawn towards that type of visual art. So like I said, just personal work, always did myself. Eventually, after I finished college, went to the corporate world. I work in a hedge fund. Kind of like a stock market, Wall Street type of work, and it just wasn't fun. So I said, the heck with that, and the turning point was actually after I got married. I had a very low-key wedding. My wife and I, we just wanted to have a party for friends, nothing too crazy. A good friend of mine, that he actually shoots catalogs. He's not a wedding photographer or anything like that, but I said, you know what, I just come over, hang out. I don't want anything special. And he did such a great job that actually that inspired me. This was about 5-6 years ago. So after that, I was like, wow, I love photographing people. Even though I love photography, I'm more like a people photographer. I'm not a landscape guy. It just feels like that's boring. It's too, maybe it's because I live in Florida and we don't have pretty landscape here. But that's how I got started. I said, you know what? I love photographing people. I liken the human expression to a very fast-changing landscape. So, you know, landscape, you have to be there for the pretty light at the end of the day, and then that's your shot. But I think people, it's a little bit like that, but faster moving. I mean, especially for weddings, you have all these fleeting emotions that can change in a split second, and that really attracts me to wedding photography. So I put a portfolio together of just what I was doing, my personal work, which with a lot of traveling and just hanging out here in South Florida, it's a very melting pot of people. So it's really cool to do people photography just in the street. Just I walk around in South Beach and I just have a camera in my hip and just photograph people. It's just the easiest thing. So that kind of like moved me towards wedding work. So I said, I'm going for it. I put a little portfolio together and I put an ad. I don't remember, maybe in the Knot. And that's how it started.
When you started doing your photography, of course, as you just explained, with really digging the people stuff, and I can definitely agree with you. I mean, there are some landscape things that are cool, but really it's like you're waiting around until, okay, the sun's at 33 degrees and I got 2 seconds, so nail it. Right. And it's like, okay, well, that's all good and fine. But either way, did you start off as being into the film stuff? Did you start as digital? What was your transition in and maybe back to film?
Right. Well, my personal work has always been film. Just to give you a little bit more of me, I am Cuban. I was born and raised there up to, I would say I was 10 or 12 before my family moved over to Florida. And it was always with like old Russian cameras and things like that. So I was always attracted to film because I remember that. I remember my dad had beat up cameras and we used to like take pictures and try to do something together. So always I was a film shooter for my personal work. But when I decided to take on weddings, I went straight to digital because I didn't know enough people down here. I didn't know any labs. And it was a convenience type of thing. I was, in a way, finding myself and my style. And that's how I guess I progressed to eventually coming back to film. All my wedding work was from the beginning digital, but it wasn't what it was moving me. In a way, I got pretty comfortable with Photoshop. Not a problem. I can do everything in Photoshop. So in a way, you have my shooting style. And then you have my post-processing style, which was, I was trying to emulate film. I was trying to make my digital work look like film because I just like the look. And as you know, it's not possible and it takes a lot of work to get there. So I continued doing digital and everybody liked my clients of my work, liked my look, but still there was always something there. And again, as digital progressed in the last 2 years, at least down here, there were no local labs, nobody that I can really rely to say, hey, you know what, this is my film, this is from a wedding that I can really trust someone with those once-in-a-lifetime type of images. That's why I decided to stick to digital. And then until I met our friend Jose Villa, and actually I credit him with me coming back to film because I met him and we talked and he opened his doors to me and he showed me how he does things. He put me in contact with Brian from Richard Photo Lab, and he told me, hey, give it a shot and see where you go from there. And my next wedding, I did like a hybrid. I shoot some film and digital, sent it to Richard. And once I got it back, it's like the rest was history. The wedding after that, I just dumped my digital cameras and just started shooting film.
Well, I mean, isn't that the truth when you send off something or a new process or you find a really good lab? I mean, I use Richard personally myself, too. When you get the stuff back, it's just like, it's beautiful. You don't have to touch it.
I know. And it's just like that. I love the anticipation of once I shoot it, I know exactly what I'm going to get and I know exactly the shot. In a way, this is why I shoot rangefinders as well. It's not like, oh, well, I don't know if maybe there's an eye close or I'm always seeing what's going on and I know exactly what I'm getting even with the film without even looking at it. So I don't need an LCD in the back. I don't need to look at it because I know exactly what I got. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's unbelievable. People that haven't tried film, it's just, they're missing something.
When you were shooting and you first started doing your wedding stuff and you had put your ad, like you said, you put one in the Knot that covered that part of Southern Florida and that part of the country there, did you get a bite right away? How did you progress to where you hadn't done any weddings or maybe you had done a few for some friends, but you started advertising? Did you start getting bites right away? What got people attracted to your photography?
Well, I mean, I was honest with my bride. I had an ad, and like I said, my portfolio was just my personal work, which is a mix of portrait and street photography. That's what I still do. That's what I like. So I had a bite, I guess. Maybe I was cheap enough. I don't know. I charged like $800 for my first wedding. So I showed her and said, hey, I haven't done wedding, but this is what I'm going to do, and this is my personal work. And right from my very first wedding, I always, and maybe this is my business background, I always dictated my style. Just because I'm a newbie, if you want to call it that, I was not going to do something that it wasn't my style. So I was very candid to the bride. I said, listen, this is what I do. This is my style. And this is the same way that I want to shoot your wedding. They were cool with that. We did an engagement session. They loved it. We did the wedding. They loved it. And then that's it. That was my one portfolio wedding. And we went from there. So it's one of those things that, like I said, from my very first wedding, I never did something that is not the way that I shoot, it's not the way that I see things. And I guess that really helped because there's no reason for me to shoot a bunch of weddings to get portfolio where I can get portfolio as I shoot the weddings. It's one of those things, you got to show what you want to sell. And I did that since day one.
Yeah, that's really cool. Let's talk about your workflow. Of course, we all know, I think the workflow advantage of shooting film. I know some people like to, when they get their scans back, maybe do a level adjustment or maybe a color correction, a little bit of a sort. And then some people don't even touch them. Leah McCormick, all her weddings on film, and she literally gets the stuff back from Richard and never, ever even opens a file once in Photoshop. And then some people do like to step on the stuff a little bit and do some corrections. So you send the film to Richard. They develop it. You get a proof back for the client. And, of course, they do their nice high-res scans. What's your gig after that?
Pretty much like what you said. I get it back. And right here in the East Coast in Florida, we don't have what I call pretty California light. So sometimes it gets a little bit too dark, and especially towards the reception. And in some of those files, maybe I have to get a little bit of levels adjustment just because on the scan. And that's pretty much what I do. But again, it's not for all the files, only a few. And once I do that, then that's it. My workflow is just the same as I do with digital, just without all the digital work. Get the images from Richard, sort them out, and I put them online because the majority of my clients are not locals. Even though I don't live in a destination wedding per se, but the type of clientele that seeks me out are not from here, just because in my experience, South Florida clients are very traditional in a sense that they want to have their parents' wedding. They need to have the whole traditional,
exactly.
very static, and then that's just not me. The type of client that seeks me out and commissions me, they like modern, cool, fun party, and they just want somebody to be there and document it. A lot of them, actually, they don't even want, like, traditional family images, so that's pretty cool. So because of that, I have the online gallery, so once I get my film back, put it online, and I'm done. That's my workflow.
When you were doing digital, what kind of gear were you shooting with? I know now you're 100% like an M shooter. You're probably using, what, an M7, an MP, so we'll talk right. about maybe what you're using now. Were you always the rangefinder, Bresson-style street, capture the image, sort of the fly-on-the-wall type stuff with the rangefinder, or did you go from an SLR into the whole rangefinder deal?
Well, yeah, for my personal work, I always had like an old Leica 3F, which they're so small, they fit in your jeans pockets without any problems. So that's what I always had for myself. Once I started weddings, I think I had a Nikon one time, a D2H, but I eventually moved to the Canon 1D Mark II and 1DS Mark IIs, and I really like those cameras. But the really interesting thing that brought me actually to say, hey, I use rangefinders. Might as well use them for my wedding. But, I mean, the DMA didn't come until, like, 2006. But I was a Canon shooter. I was always a prime shooter. I'm not a big fan of zooms. And the very key element of my gear prior to going back to film was that I didn't own anything longer than an 85 millimeters. So I had a 24, 35, 50, and 85. Those were my lenses in the SLR world. And once I realized that, hey, now we have this Leica digital, and my style is not a heavy telephoto. I'm a big fan of wide angles just because I like to have as much context on my images as possible. Then I went to the Leica digital. Another major factor in my switch to Leica digital, because I went Canon digital, Leica digital, film on Leica. It was the weight. I shoot all my weddings by myself. I don't hire second shooters because it's just my style. Let's just say that I can't teach somebody to see how I see, and not implying that I'm better. It's just my own way. I'm very flexible. I'm always moving around, just seeing what's going on. And usually when you have more than one shooter, sometimes they tend to get on your way. And also, while I love my clients, I'm very cool with them, like to hang out. Once it comes to the wedding, I step back a little bit, kind of like an introvert position when I am documenting my wedding. Not a matter of being unfriendly, but I just don't want to take over the wedding. I want to be there like a guest without a small camera. So all my weddings, it's just by myself. My smallest wedding I did once was 4 people, including the bride and groom. I've done from 4 to 500 people. I just do it by myself. It's just my style. It's just how I like to do things. So with that, having all this Canon gear, the pivotal point was that I had a wedding in a church and in a hotel, and it was a lot of back and forth, and it was me with my camera bag and all this gear. And that was the moment that I said, I just have to shed all this weight. And that's when I went to Leica Digital and the M8. And people say, you're crazy, that camera is a piece of crap, high ISO is crap, and you know what, I don't care. So that's when I went to the Leica M8. I would say it was January of 2007. And the pretty interesting thing that happened, I guess that I was testing myself. I didn't tell anybody that I went Leica. I just started shooting. And I was expecting somebody to tell me, hey, what have you done? Your images are different in a bad way. Like, I was expecting somebody to tell me, you're missing it now. What happened? And that was what made me feel like I should go Leica all the way. because I'm doing the same type of work that I've been doing, good or bad. And again, that was a pivotal point when I said, going to Leica, rangefinder, small outfit, simple, and it went from there. So I shot Leica digital with the M8 for, I would say, like 9 months until it was October, I think. I think I met Jose in September of 07. Yeah, September 07. And by November 07, then I was already filmed with Leica M7s.
And I'm with you, too, because I shoot, well, I'm shooting one VHS that's basically the same as, well, I have a 1D Mark II and a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
So I'm at the same gig, so it's like, okay, I have two or three bodies and an 85-1.2, a 50-1.2, a 24, a 14, a 200-1.8, and you know, pretty soon it's the same deal. It's like, I need somebody to carry gear.
Exactly.
Because you're packing so much stuff around. I mean, yes, Canon's got great stuff. It's beautiful. The L-Series glass and 85-1.2 is just awesome. But so is a Nokkolux 51. So,
exactly.
So I mean, it's all good. And I can definitely see the deal with shooting with the rangefinder because the Leica stuff's beautiful. What was your transition up to speed from going from an SLR to the rangefinder? Because it is different. It's a different way of shooting. It's a different way of looking because really, depending on what you have for rangefinder, if you focus with your right eye, you can actually look at your left eye. It's a completely different experience than an SLR.
Exactly. And again, just because I was used to shooting for personal, I've gotten very, very good at zone focusing and shooting from my hip. And I do that actually, and I would say that 80% of my reception stuff is from the hip. I don't even bring the camera to my eye. So it's very liberating in a way because I shed all that weight and I even slim down on the gear. I mean, as of now, I just shoot three lenses. Shoot a 35, 50, and a 90. And I am going to streamline even more. I'm going to go to two lenses once this new Leica 21 comes out. So I'm a huge, huge, huge believer of like making things very simple. I mean, I see folks that they just think that they need whole focal range. And I don't know, some people don't believe in feet or walking around and adjusting. And yes, sometimes you're tight and you can step back, move closer. But I mean, when I got my Leica M8, the M8 was so hot. There was all the Leica lenses were sold out. The only thing I could get my hands on was in the M8 and the 35 Summicron. And I shot about 5 weddings, including church ceremonies, just with that combination.
Really?
I had the candles in the back as a backup because I only had one M8 and one 35, but I shot complete weddings with that. And it was really, really liberating. It's just like, wow, I can make this so simple. And in a way, it helps my work. Because if I'm the wedding photographer and people don't think I'm the wedding photographer, I mean, they just drop the guards. They are who they are, not that fake personality for the camera guy.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, look how many people would freak out, though. Think about this, okay? Leave all your Canon and Nell glass and all your stuff in the car. Go shoot this wedding. Let's just say someone's using a 1VHS Canon or a Nikon F6 or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And give them one lens, a 50-1.2, a 35, whatever, and have them go shoot with one piece of glass. You're right. Most people would lose it right there.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story to actually see that you've shot complete gigs with a 35-millimeter lens.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, back in the day, that's what people had, and nobody died. Nobody had a 300-millimeter. I mean, I wouldn't say, hey, you know what, go to shoot an NFL game with a Leica. That would be crazy, but for what we do, I really think that wedding photographers overdo it with the gear. And I don't know why. Maybe a lot of gear fanatics. And some people might say, well, you've been a little bit of a, you've not been very serious. You are shooting Leica. That's very fancy. I mean, it's not. It's simple. It might be expensive because the type of company they are, but it doesn't get any simpler than that. Simpler than Leica, maybe a Holga.
Here's an example. Let's talk about the Leica thing for a minute. What are you shooting now, like M7, MP?
Yeah, I like M7. I try the MP. The reason that the dial in the MP is smaller and in the heat of the action, I want to change it. It was hurting my finger a little bit. So I love the M7s. I'm not a purist, one of those people that, oh, I need to have the MP because I can shoot it without a battery. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, I love the M7 because then it gives me that added extra safety of aperture priority. If I'm in the middle of the ceremony or something, when the light is going down, I'm going to crank that aperture priority and shoot away because I know exactly what I'm going to get. So other than that, I go manual all the time. So yeah, I have three M7s, two with a 72 magnification for the regular and an 85 for the 50 and up, especially for the Noctilux. And then I have my three lenses. I have a 35 Summilux. I have a 50, the Noctilux, which is what I call, this is a lens cap in one of my cameras. That's my most used lens. And the 90. Now, the 90 only comes out for the church, for a church ceremony. Other than that, that 90 doesn't leave the bag. So yeah, 35 and 50, that to me is a perfect complement. Once this 21-1.4 that they announced comes out, and then I might take the 35 out and just use the 21 and walk. Because the depth of field on this 21-1.4 at a really, really close focusing distance is going to be really, really magical.
Oh, it is a beautiful piece of glass. I played with it briefly. I had done a bunch of stuff with Christian and those guys at Photo Plus, and boy, that is one sweet piece of glass. For the quality, I think for what you're getting, and because people don't really maybe understand that how small Leica really is and how things are actually truly handmade.
Yeah.
You're not getting stuff that's pumped out of a factory. I mean, they really make this stuff by hand. When you see guys machining stuff, it's on manual lathes. This stuff's not all computerized, pumped out of wherever. So yes, the new piece of glass that we're talking about is spindy in comparison to some other brands, but it's very unique, and the things that you can do with it is pretty special. So.
And I don't need anything else. I mean, I don't need a 21, a 24, and a 28. The 21 is all I need. And it's one of those, going back to basics, you don't need to load up on gear. And sometimes I feel like instead of photographers, some people look like they're in a SWAT team or something with all these like big lenses strapped to their belt. I mean, it all depends on your style, but it's like you get more attention on the bride. I don't know. That's just not me.
No, this is so true. And you can shoot definitely fast enough for what you need to do with a Leica. And if you really need to get crazy, you can buy a bottom winder if it needs to be that fast. But
exactly.
I mean, come on. How fast does it need to be?
Exactly. I mean, I haven't had a bride that dashes through the church, so I think I can handle it.
I think that's part of the problem. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to people that are shooting digital, because we all play with digital. You still have an M8, right? And an M8 too?
I have an M8 too, but it's just alone right now. Once you go back to film with the Leica, there's a different feeling even between the film and the digital Leica.
It's like moving from a Toyota to a Cadillac. You don't want to go back. Sorry.
Exactly.
Really, people that are shooting digital, I mean, that's all great because digital has its place for certain applications. Editorial, yep. You need to turn it really fast. That's all fine and good, and you can get some beautiful stuff with it. The new Nikon D3 is incredible. It is an amazing camera, but really, I mean, like you said, just think of the fact of having one or two bodies with you, okay? Yep. And a couple pieces of glass, literally, in some little small satchel, and you're going to blend in like a guest, and you can get this type of candid photography. And here's another thing that I see problem with some of the newer people that are getting into wedding photography, don't have any kind of manual or film-based tooling. All these new cameras don't really have focal scales and stuff on the lenses, and everything's automatic. If you know how to work a rangefinder, and you say, okay, well, guess what? It's about 8 feet, and you know how to judge distance? Like you said, you can shoot from the hip and nail it. Boom.
Yep. Yeah, actually, that's pretty how I got pretty good at judging distance is practicing in the house, especially with the digital. That really allowed me to nail it. So I was just watching TV in the couch, say, well, from my couch with TV, 5 feet, take a shot and then compare it. And really, really helped me to get that extra sense of depth and distance, and it helps a lot. So, yeah, you can just set it, boom, and shoot. So it's a beautiful thing.
Now, when you're shooting with, let's say, the NOC, the 50-1.0, do you tend to shoot most of your glass wide open, or do you pick like a really shallow depth of field, or do you just adjust it accordingly depending on light?
Yeah, I'm a wide open shooter. Always have been wide open shooter. I just want to make my subject, whatever it is, the focus, and forget about the rest. I definitely go wide open, and the challenge is like my top speed is 1,000 of a second. So if I know that I'm going to shoot with the Nox, then I'm going to go 100 ISO neopan and rate it at 25, especially if I'm outside.
Exactly. Because you're shooting with it. And people don't understand that. A lot of people, like you said, like to use a 24-70 and a 70 to 200 and whatever, and they're shooting a 2.8. And when you start shooting at F1 or F1.2, it's a huge difference between that and 2.8.
That's right. And especially with a rangefinder. With the SLRs, you have to be careful. With the rangefinder, I've shot like 1/8 of a second, something like that. And I'm a young guy, but still, you're like, wow, you're going to be shaky. But I mean, 1/8 of a second, and it's still like that sharp.
You can do that. You can. You can with a rangefinder. You can definitely pick a slower shutter speed, and you don't have mirror flap and bounce, and it is a different environment. Like if they go over to your blog and your gallery and look at the stuff, there's just some beautiful stuff, and you can just definitely tell. I mean, that shot with the couple and the Airstream trailer.
Right.
I mean, that must have been a 50 wide open. Beautiful.
Yep, wide open as much as I can. Yeah, the 90 F2, I also am not too crazy about it because it's only F2. Sometimes it's slow, but yeah, wide open. Getting to know the Nautilus was a nice experience because once you go to F1, everything disappears, so you have to be really careful with the depth of field behind the subject. So, but once you are far away, people think F1 and they just think of these pictures that you see online of a flower and everything else blurred. But when you think of it, I mean, you can do some great work with F1 because in the dark reception hall, you just stand back and then you have a really nice depth of field and you shoot an F1. So you can get a nice-looking, decent, even exposure. So it's not all about the crazy, dreamy bokeh, but also the ability to just shoot at night.
Yeah. Now, let's move into that. Do you typically like to use any off-camera lighting kind of flash, or is it basically just the Nox and turn it up, boom, maybe some faster film?
It all depends on the event. If I use a flash, I use it maybe 5%. I really don't care about flash too much, especially with a Leica. I mean, if you put a little Leica flash, it doesn't swivel, it doesn't tilt, so it's all straight up. My style in flash is pretty interesting because what I do, I shoot 1600 film, right, the Neopen, rated at 3200, and then let the flash go all out because the look that I do with my flash is kind of like, think of images of, what's his name, Newton. Helmut Newton, all that really crazy, really grainy, but really, really bright.
Right.
That's the look that I go for my flash of 3200 with flash and make it really crazy and contrasty. So that's my flash images. And again, it's only for the reception, for like really crazy. And it only when the light is really, really low. If I have a venue that is professionally lit and everything is great, then I don't even pull it out. It stays in the bag. So it all depends, and the average 5, 10%, 15 tops of my images are flash.
Are you handling a flash unit with a cable to the Leica? Are you using a pocket wizard?
No, I try to grow a third hand to be able to do an off-camera flash and focus it, but I couldn't. But no, I have the little Leica SF24. Just put it on top and let it go. Again, since it doesn't allow me to tilt or anything, it's just straight-on crazy look. So simple. I mean, if I'm going to go to just shoot Leica and have everything simplified, I'm not going to bring an umbrella to the venue and put stuff up. But then once I start doing that, then I might as well shoot as a lot so everybody's going to know what's going on.
Right. Now, let's talk about that. And you had mentioned about the Neopan and the Arcros. You only shoot or mainly typically shoot all Fujifilm, correct?
Yes.
What have you seen using Fuji over Kodak and Ilford and some of the other brands? We're going to get into the black and white stuff here, but what have you noticed with using maybe the Fuji stuff in comparison to some other brands?
When you look at Kodak, I like Tri-X, but sometimes the Tri-X looks just too much. Sometimes it can be too grainy and too crazy, especially when you start rating at 1600 or 3200. So I like the even look of the tones of the Fujifilm. I'm crazy about that. And now when it comes to color, I hate the Kodak color film. To me, it's got too much magenta. The look of the color, Kodak does Portra, and I was never a big fan of it. And once you have the Fuji and you overexpose it, then you get those nice pastel-looking colors, and that really, really attracts me because it's kind of soft, romantic, and I'm not a big color guy, but when I use it, I want it to be nice. I don't want it to be all like reddish and pinkish-looking in the skin tones.
And what do you like for color in the Fuji?
Well, for color, the Pro 400H and the 800Z, but when the light goes down, in my opinion, there's nothing like the 800Z with the Nautilux. The look that that gives, because it's saturated, but then you get that Nautilux look, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, available light with the Nautilux and the 800, it's just beautiful.
Now, are you shooting typically a stop or two over on your color?
Most of my film, 400, 200, 800, 400, or once the light gets really down, then I just leave it either at 800. But I don't have to do that that often because, again, shooting F1, it really helps. With the black and white, it's about the same. If I'm out with the Nautilux, I'm going to shoot the Neopan 100 at 25 or 50. the 400, the 200. And then the 1600, I've been playing that. I go from anywhere from 800 to 1600. When I want to go really low, I never push it all the way quite to 1600. I just keep it at 1000. And that's my favorite low light setting right there.
Have you ever had a chance to try the Fuji Natura 1600 from Japan? They don't have it here in the States?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a 1600 color. And it's hard to get because Fujifilm USA, they don't have the same stuff that they sell in Japan and other parts of the world. So sometimes they really don't know the difference on the stuff because, you know, they don't have the product. And of course, they're not familiar with it. But you can buy it online. I mean, it's a little spendy, maybe $8 a roll, but really, it's unbelievable. And it's different than shooting Sapira 1600. It's the Natura stuff. And then some people say, well, it's the same as the Sapira 1600, but really it's different. And for color, to be able to shoot it at 800, it's pretty tasty. Yeah.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to some people that sell it online.
Cool.
It's pretty cool stuff. Now, let's talk about this in black and white, because I think this is one thing that your clients search you out for, besides your style, and we're going to get into that too, but 90%, I think, of your work is in black and white.
Yep. 90% of my work is black and white. And it depends on each wedding. So let's say if I do a beach wedding, which, believe it or not, I'm in South Florida, Miami. I don't do beach weddings. I guess it's that type of client. Maybe don't seek me out. But if it's something outdoors, really pretty nice colors, and yeah, I will do a little bit more color there. But other than that, I really like to stick to black and white. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's not because I want to be the next top house person. But I just like my style. I'm going for the raw emotion. I don't want anything else taken away from that. And sometimes your goal of making an image, it goes away when you have too much color or too much going on. So I'm very basic, black and white, love it. And it just, people love that. They say, well, I love black and white. This is what I want. It goes from there.
No, definitely. I mean, how many typically gigs do you shoot a year?
I shoot about 20 to 25. I travel a little bit sometimes. I would say the 20% travel, but it might be Europe or it might be somewhere far. I do a lot of traveling within the U.S. as well. So I have a family, wife, and 3-year-old son. So family time is very important. So I don't take more than 20 to 25 weddings a year. Once I make that cap, then I stop accepting commissions. Got to be something really spectacular, that then I'll do more than that. But I don't want to be shooting a wedding every weekend, because in my opinion, what makes me love shooting weddings, and I get inspired by it, but I'm a huge fan of personal work. I don't think I could be where I am without my personal work. And it doesn't have to be a photo trip to India, for example. It can be just walking around the street, just seeing people and meeting people, especially where I live. To me, that really, really, really helps me grow. And every time that I travel, I budget for an extra day or two just for do street photography or personal stuff somewhere there. And it's not like I go to Paris, not going to like the tourist spot. I want to go to where the real people are, because that's where you get a sense of the culture and where you learn from those folks. And that's very important to me, like I said.
Oh, exactly. And I think you're right. There are people that do really love black and white photography. And it's very rare anymore, the people that say, I'm a black and white photography, I really specialize in this, because you know why? People are scared.
Yeah. Actually, I've shot whole weddings in black and white. I did, just to bring back to the Leica and the simple things, I did a wedding in December. It was a wedding from a New York Times best-selling author. But, I mean, these are the most low-key clients that I've ever had. They just hired me, and they just wanted me to just be very, very hands-off. They did not want one single family portrait. They don't want anything like that. I mean, it was such a different feeling that she didn't even want me to come to do the getting ready. I had to say, no, I have to do this because you want to see the whole day. But this client was the perfect example of my style and how I shoot, all the way to the point of gear selection, because they were very shy. They did not want to be next to this huge camera, this long lens in their face. So just that simplicity, that low key that people seek me out for. And then black and white. That wedding was 100% black and white, available light. So it's one of those things that, yeah, once you show people your style, what you do, then they will seek you out for that. And the clients that don't match you on that, they just won't hire you. And it's okay with that. Again, I don't want to do a wedding every weekend. I don't want to get all the jobs, because then I will go crazy. I will go insane, and that's not something that I want to do. I want to come to every wedding. I want to see new things. I want to experience new things and hopefully do this work for them that they'll cherish forever. And that's my whole philosophy.
Well, no, I mean, you can look at your work and you can just tell. I mean, it's beautiful photography, and there are people that really do love true black and white. Like you said, it conveys the emotion and what's going on. You're not distracted by colorful table settings or lights in a reception. I mean, it's just the true image. I mean, you could even tell today, just turn on Bravo and watch an old Western, one of the old TV series, or watch anything in black and white, and just the way they lit it and what you get out of the program itself, because it's black and white, you're not distracted from color. And it is a completely different viewing experience, either it be photography, television, movies. It is completely different and it is unique. And like you said, it does convey what is going on there. You're not distracted by anything.
Yep. And actually, being a film shooter even helps me better, because in digital, you always say, well, I can always bring it back to color. But when you shoot a film, there's no going back to color. So if I shoot black and white, it's black and white. So it's one of those things that it really helps me grow and helps me actually put a stamp on my style and say, you know what, this is me, this is what I do, and this is what you're going to get. It's not going to be like, well, I shoot digital, and if I show you a black and white image, I can always turn it into color. So it's one of those things that it really helps me be more disciplined and more, again, putting a stamp and making my signature really, really my signature, not be based on what bride might want because of what a magazine says or because of what another photographer says. So it's pretty interesting how everything has come together, and it really allows me to just be me.
And I think that's so true, and it's great to see that you know what your style is and what your deal is, and if you can definitely command a price for this, it's a very unique style of photography. It's beautiful stuff, and like you said, there's no reason to do 50, 60 units a year when you can do 20. You price right. The stuff correctly, you can make a great living from it. It can be a very stress-free, enjoyable job to be able to capture these moments for people without having to worry about doing 50 and 60.
Yeah, I love what I do. I really feel blessed. I mean, I come to my weddings and these brides hug me and they're like, if mom goes, like, take this picture, they tell mom, this is not what he does. I mean, it is a really amazing thing. And it's not an ego thing, but once you have your way and we really work really hard at our craft and define who we are, and once people get it, there's not more rewarding than that. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, okay, so you're at a wedding and you typically do your gig, and if your bride says, hey, can you appease my mom and take this little picture? It's like, okay, fine.
Right.
It's not a big deal because you're making your client happy, but it's not like, okay, I got a shot lesson. We're going to grab this one with the grill.
Exactly.
And this. It's like, no, man. Exactly. If you want to get this one, or maybe if somebody's had a few drinks or whatever, okay, great. Hey, right. I'll take this picture for you. Beautiful. But that's great. And your clients know this going into the deal is that, you know, this is my style. This is what I do. This is why you're paying me all this money to do this gig.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, what's the point? I mean, you hired me because you trust that this is what you want. If you don't let me do what I do my way, your wedding image will not be what you see on my side or in my blog, and then you'll be disappointed. I really believe that in order to be successful at this, it's kind of like being married. Communication is key. And you don't have to be shy. It's okay, you know, disagreeing. It's okay not being a good match. Again, you don't have to be a wedding photographer for everybody. Because once you become that, then it's hard differentiate yourself, and unfortunately competing in price is something that you have to be crazy to compete in price. So if you can communicate, if you're open to your prospective client, and starts from that moment the phone rings, from the moment they call you, you say, great, I'm open, I'm available, but this is me, this is what I do, and I just want to make sure that you're okay with it. The people that are not okay with it, they'll go away, and again, it's okay. We don't have to do every wedding. That's what I try to stress to all my friends and ask me, oh, wow, I can't do this because they want this and they want that. It's like, well, it starts from day one. Just be open, you know, be honest, and people will come to you because of the way that you are.
Let's talk about maybe some of your inspiration on your style of your shooting, doing the street stuff, shooting from the hip. What's really helped you form your own style and which the way you're shooting now?
I mean, it's going to sound cliche, like whatever, but definitely Kappa, Person, Winogrand, Robert Frank, I mean, the Americans. I mean, that book to me, it's just, if I can shoot a wedding the way that the Americans look, that's what I go for. So, yeah, I mean, that type of photography, that the classics, it's just, that's my inspiration. I still get inspired by my peers and wedding photography, but my wedding photography wouldn't be what it is if it's not for these other masters who I really admire and who I look, you know, towards. So again, simple black and white treat, getting that perfect split second when the stuff is happening. There's actually, I have a shot on my blog, which is the perfect example. It was a church wedding, of course, hour-long mass. All of a sudden, we have this flower girl. She gets bored. I mean, she walks out. She gets into the center of the aisle. She starts playing. And, of course, the ceremony keeps going. And I see from the corner of my eye that something's going to happen. And I see her mom reaches out from the pews into the aisle to grab her. And the image that I made, it was, honest to God, one frame. And it was right that pivotal moment when you see her finger is grabbing her. But you see that she's about to pull her in because you see how the index finger is just pressing on the skin, about to grab her and bring it in. And to me, that's what I go for. And again, that perfect moment, that perfect capture at that pivotal time, second before, a second later, the shot would be in the garbage. But just that perfect moment, it's just what I go for. And again, inspired by these guys.
It is beautiful work, and they should definitely check your blog out. Let's talk about your personal work. You had mentioned before that you definitely like to keep time available to do personal work projects. What are you working on now? What do you like to shoot for personal work?
I still like to shoot people. I mean, I love people. I just like to hang out, see perfect strangers, and take the portrait, whether they know it or not. Sometimes, if I see someone that looks interesting, especially in the face, I like wrinkles and the sign of time. I don't care about photographing hot chicks. That's not my style. I like to photograph people that have a couple of years on them because we can just sit, talk, chit-chat, and sometimes I even make the portraits while we're chit-chatting. And to me, that's just great. And again, like I said, that makes me even better for my wedding work because I'm learning to just see how people behave, see their reaction. I mean, you might think that I have a major in psychology, which I don't. I like to study people. I'm a huge fan of just people watching, I guess. So, but I mean, it can be something that just walking around and seeing interesting things, try to capture daily life from a different perspective, or it can be a portrait. It's funny, the last 2 years I've been to Mexico, I found, while driving around, I found this very small town. I got to meet this really old couple, and I went twice for the past 2 years, and every time I go there, I go see them, and they're there, and just like their lives are so completely different to us, but still, they're sharing their life experiences with me, and just that connection and that closeness to somebody that, one, doesn't know me, and second, our lives are so different, they're so far apart. Just having that small conversation, that connection, that really, really is what my personal work is all about. I also like to do personal work / wedding work, and I have a pretty interesting project coming out this weekend, believe it or not. We all know the new Canon 5D Mark II is out. Yep. Video, and people are going nuts about it. And technology is cool. And I mean, it's definitely, who would know that this would be possible? But I see that people are losing the focus. Now people want to become videographers instead of continually enhancing their craft and getting better, which that should be our number one priority. And so I have this really, really crazy project, which is going to be my anti-5D Mark II version. So I'm going to shoot in a 4x5. I'm going to shoot some portraits for one of my brides this weekend. In a 4x5, Neopan 100, but I also got my hands on 40 sheets of Polaroid 55. And that's going to be, hopefully Fuji gets their stuff together and they bring it back. But if not, I guess this will be my homage to Polaroid. So yeah, I'm going to do this. Now, everybody, if you go to all the online forums and all these places, everybody's just posting their 5D Mark II videos. I'm going to come, I'm going to post my 4x5 images. I'll try to make at least 20 images, and that will be it. And then I'm going to develop it myself. I'm not going to send this one to Richard. I'm going to do it all myself. I want to really have a special meaning. I want to do it all. Every once in a while, I do projects like that. So I want to see things differently. I have a Hasselblad X-Pan. Sometimes I do projects just with that camera. It just forced me to see in a different way. And again, it can be something as simple as portraits. It can be regular street photography. It can be a landscape if I'm in a pretty landscape area. So it's all, again, about challenging myself and trying to see the world and everybody around me from a different perspective. So that's what my personal work is all about. I would love to go, if I have the chance, explore a bunch of cultures, but I mean, I have that at home. So it's pretty easy for me to just do personal work every afternoon if I have the time.
Sure. No, that's great. And I'm sure these portraits with a 4x5, I mean, that's another level that just extends even more than what the Leica stuff looks like and the things you can do with a 4x5. And you start getting larger format, the depth of field gets even shallower depending on what you're using. I mean, look at Albert Watson, okay? Yep. One of the greatest portraiture photographers that's still alive, right? Shooting 4x5. Wonder why. Yeah. Steve Jobs just had his portrait done not too long ago last year by Albert Watson, a year or two ago, whenever it was. Why would the head CEO of the largest and coolest technology company on the planet, a portrait of themselves done on film?
Yep.
I wonder why.
That look of film is just unbelievable. Say, oh, well, we got all these plugins now that they look pretty good, but they're not the real thing, and the amount of time that it takes you to get nowhere near close. And that's what a lot of people are mistaken. I can honestly say that they're mistaken, because people say, my friends, my dear friends, which I love, they tell me, well, yeah, it's cool, but film is expensive. And I was like, film is not expensive. I mean, and they're like, oh, film is harder than digital. It's like, I mean, are you kidding me? Unfortunately, digital has given photographers a false sense of security. Just because they can look at an image in the back of the camera, they think that then they can be better. And yes, it allows you to maybe learn faster. And, you know, there's great digital photographers out there. I mean, a lot of my peers, I really love their work and I love what they're doing. But, yeah, maybe they have gotten to the point where they are right now faster than with film. But it just is not cheaper and it's not easier either. The perfect example that I tell my friends, like, okay, think about it. You want to see what you shot, right? So do you look at the back of your camera when the couples do the first kiss? And the answer 100% is no. And I say, why? Because if you look at that, then you're going to miss it. And it's the same with film. Just think that if you take a shot and you have to look at it, it's not that important, because otherwise you miss it. And that is the analogy that I give to people. It's like, just because you have it and you looked at it, but the moment is gone. If you messed it up, it's gone. I don't care. You can print it in the instant. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. Doesn't matter what medium you're using. I really would love a lot of my friends to be able to shoot film, but we'll see what I can do.
Well, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, so
what
are you going to do? Right. An example that would be extremely difficult to do this in digital is you have an image on your blog. It's a detailed shot of a bunch of little miniature trees that are set up as like little table placeholders.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing must have been shot with a Nox at 1.0, and there's just one small fraction of one in focus, and everything else is blown out, and it's way cool-looking, overexposed Fuji, and the greens are popping, and it's just such a beautiful image. How are you going to do that in digital?
Exactly.
I don't see how. I mean, you can if you want to just tweak off in Photoshop for a couple hours, but...
Yeah, and at that point, then, if you are to the point that you have to spend a lot of time in Photoshop, then it doesn't matter how much you charge, you're going to start losing money, because it's just not feasible. And at least for my look, for my style, I'm not one person, my look that I'd like to get, it's not one that I can just even outsource that. I couldn't outsource my digital workers, then they wouldn't do what I like. They wouldn't have my look. So it's just not even possible. So, you know, what's the difference? I either pay myself or I pay Richard Ford to do it. I'd rather them do it, because that budget is allocated for that no matter what.
How much do you typically shoot at a gig? Do you shoot 20 rolls, 50 rolls? How much do you usually go through?
Well, I'm really, really a tight shooter, and it's not because of money. Even with digital, I was always very tight, because I just don't believe in overshooting. And again, digital has made us very, very wasteful. And it's like, I mean, how many versions of bride getting their hair done can you really make that are interesting? So, I mean, once it comes to the point that you're just shooting fluff, then it stops. And with film, what really helped me, again, and this is the Leica shooting rangefinder, really helped me, because I know exactly what I got. Was a night close. If there is, I saw it and I shoot again. But other than that, I just take one shot. I'm a very, very, very tight shooter. So on average, for your regular wedding day, let's say 8-hour wedding, I rarely go over 20 rolls. I mean, I'm really, really tight. And just because that's just me. I see, capture, 1-2 shots, I got it, done. Go to the next one. So I really don't see the reason to even with digital, to shoot thousands of frames. Yeah, if you do it an Indian way, something where you really have a lot of story, a lot of background, then yeah, you have to shoot a little bit more. For your regular standard wedding that you do most of the times, it's just not there. If you shoot portraits, you don't have to shoot 500 images in a portrait. I do engagement sessions. I shoot three rolls, and they're perfect. They're all different. It's not 500. Three rolls, an engagement session, and I'm done. Overshooting, I think, it really takes us off of our game because we're just like counting on the quantity and not on the quality. That's just not me.
Tell me about your work now with working on your own darkroom and wanting to develop your own film and do your own printing. I know you've been playing around doing some prints. Tell me about your adventure here into the darkroom.
Right. I knew how to develop my own black and white. I mean, everybody can do this and everybody should do it. It's so much fun just doing your own thing and pulling the negatives and make sure that you got something that you didn't just mess it up. So I had that down, and none of my film I develop. I send it all to Richard because it's not worth my time. But I always wanted to learn how to print myself. A lot of my work is printed by Robert Cavalli in L.A. I mean, great guy. He's just a master. I will never be as good as he is. But I really wanted to learn because, in a way, I wanted to go from capture all the way to printing. And it's a very tactile experience, and I really, really enjoy it. So I learned to print. I got into it, and I'm telling you, and I'm sure you know this, once you see that image show up in the chemicals, it's just like, it's sex. It's like sex. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. I just love it. So in a way, it makes me closer to my work. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a romantic. I don't know why, but I feel like it's an experience that it really, really, once you have to touch and burn with your own hands, no two prints will be alike. To me, that's just something that it really, really has touched me and allows me to even grow even better and so much faster as an artist. So that's the personal reward. The professional reward, all my portfolio stuff is printed in fiber, black and white. Once you show that to prospective clients, they say, what is that? Especially if they don't know. If they know what film and fiber is, they know right away. But the ones that don't, they see it's like, what is that? I want that. And once you tell them, I'm going to print it myself. So it's one of those, the artist is doing it. It's not a machine. It's not an automated process. They are willing to pay a lot of money for it because you have to command it. And so it has allowed me to both grow as an artist, and it has really helped my business. So it's a pretty nice combination. And again, for fine art, darkroom printing, it's not like I'm not going to print hundreds, but if I make 5 enlargements, I'm going to be coming out pretty well. I don't have to turn it into a factory type of work. But it's very, very rewarding. And when somebody sees that, and it's a one of a kind, it's just magical.
No, it is. It is cool. And people haven't had a chance to do this, I think, because
exactly.
Even in their education, and people that are new to the industry, they don't have photography programs anymore. And
yep.
It is a magical thing to see stuff come out of the developer, and also to be able to work on your own print and do a test. Yep. And say, okay, well, I want to darken this up, I want to lighten this up. And when you have something that's on a F-surface, fiber base, silver, gelatin print, it reflects light different. It's not the same as even if you have black and white done in a lab where they process the stuff through color machine, it's not the same. Yep. It's not. And a lot of people haven't seen this.
Yep, exactly. I mean, a majority of my clients are in the creative field, but some don't. Some are not. And those folks are like, wow, what is this? What do you do? And it's like, no, it's just a fiber print. This is what your parents have, I'm sure. And they cannot explain what it is, what I wanted, their response to the print.
Yeah, this is beautiful stuff. So why don't we give everybody your address so they can go check out your website, your beautiful photography. You have a blog. And of course, before we run off here, we definitely want to say that you're going to be at Photo Fusion coming up here very shortly in Delray Beach talking, and I think this is the first time they've had anybody there talking that's an actual wedding photographer. So I think this is really cool to see Photo Fusion feature you and some stuff you're going to be doing there with Leica. So why don't we touch on that and then give everybody your website and your blog stuff so they can look at your beautiful work.
Great, yeah. So my website is, my name, let me spell it, it's www.ricisvallada.com. V as in Victor, ALLADARES.com. And my blog, I promise you, is easier. It's www.ricisblog.com. And definitely the blog is the best way. I have a lot of stuff to put out there. I have to get going before I get busy again. But and definitely for the future, I have two programs. I have the fine art documentary, Wedding Photography, and I have my approach to the engagement sessions. So those are two sessions that I will be teaching. And again, yeah, I'm pretty honored that they like call me to come over and present. Like you said, it's the first time they had wedding people, and it's very humbling that they asked me to come over and speak with, for them and to help Leica out as well. So that's how you can see me. Just shoot me an email, and I can always answer questions to photographers. They're always like, interested in my techniques and crazy ideas. So check me out.
Yeah, this is great stuff, and I do really appreciate you joining us today. Great to see your work. It's beautiful. Very cool to see, of course, shooting film and all this great black and white and being a Leica M shooter, and it's just too cool. And we definitely look forward to seeing you coming up here at WPPI and hanging out. And this is just great work you're doing.
Awesome. No, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, I really appreciate this chance to hopefully motivate people to just be themselves and find your way, which is the most beautiful thing that I guess we can do for our personal and business growth. Just find your way and everything else, it goes from there. I guess that would be my advice.
Yeah, this is really cool for joining us today. And we are looking forward to hanging out in Vegas. Pretty cool, buddy.
Oh, definitely, brother. See you then.
Well, there you go. Rikus Valladares. Beautiful work from Rikus. You got to check it out. He's going to be at WPPI coming up here. If you guys are shooting wedding and portrait stuff, going to go to that convention. It's a beautiful show. It's the place to go for photography now. It's a great, great time in Las Vegas. And you can check that out at WPPIonline.com. And of course, just check out all the other stuff going on and Rikus's beautiful photography on his website, his blog. Very cool to see him, of course, a hardcore film shooter. But then on top of that, even more so, shooting a Leica. Can you imagine shooting a whole wedding with a Leica M7 and a 35mm piece of glass and that's it? Pretty cool stuff. Check out his blog. Check out his website. Beautiful stuff. And of course, we'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. Fujifilm over at FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Richard Photo Lab at RichardPhotoLab.com. DR5 at DR5.com, and of course, Upstrap at Upstrap-Pro.com, and the media partners of the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web to learn all things analog photography, from film to wet plate, dry plate, you name it, tintype, everything's going on there, even making your own emulsions, cool stuff, www.apug.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo, and we'll be back next week with more great analog photography.